Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The battle to deliver food. Nobody told him. That was the defining moment. That day will come upon you suddenly. If you are not ready, you have just one shot. This message is titled, "I have not tested this armor. Give me my sling." 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant," look at his CV, "thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb." How many did they take? Just one. We can still sacrifice one. But David said, "No. None that the Lord has given to me will be lost." That was the anger with which I spoke to those guys. Say none. Until you can value the little things, the true riches will not be given to you. He said, "And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth." He got that thing back alive. He didn't give that lion the opportunity to taste anything. Have you been in situations that you know this is now over, and God came through last minute, changed the dynamics? My boss said to me, "I will wait for you at your confirmation." He was sacked. This God, people don't know how ruthless he can be. Oh. He can use you as an example. Because you know people know they read Bible again. They say, "Let me use you as an example for another Pharaoh." Many years later, the man will call me and say, "I need your help." I looked at the man that was talking to me. "You despised me. You embarrassed me publicly. You shamed me. And here you are telling me you need my help." Today is the day of mercy. Come. And I helped him. As he was going, he turned around and said, "See, you've grown." Yeah. "What were you expecting? I should be reducing my height. You gave me up to die. But the mercy of God, you knew I didn't have a background in banking. You knew I didn't study anything about debit and credit. I found myself here by a prophetic word. And you took it upon yourself to shame me. And we are standing here today. And I'm having to help you. I'm having to put my signature on your document for you to pass. You can be a regional, whatever, ED. The tables will turn. Those people that were despised today, because they despised you because they felt you could not do anything. But the tables will turn tomorrow." Yeah. The table will turn tomorrow. It will turn. Those little children will now have mouth. Don't despise anybody. And don't let anybody despise you. And don't despise yourself. Because some people even defeated themselves before the battle started. "Why should I employ you?" "Madam, with due respect, you need me." "You need me. Number one, I'm good in Excel. Number two, I can manage your database. Number three, I'm a prayer warrior. I can pray for this business." Don't let anybody deceive you. An average African person knows the value of prayers. We don't believe in God. But you are going to Mafia. And when you go there, you'll be dancing in front of one shrine. And then they give you something. 12 a.m. Must not pass 12 a.m. See the way they are warning you. Must not pass 12 a.m. Then you will recite this thing. So if the devil is doing that for his own children, what about God? You know, I should keep quiet. Well, I have reduced your life. You just get ready to die. Well, go and greet your family goodbye. So those who want to go into that business, they will think twice. There's a God that killeth and he maketh alive. And he's not committing murder. Do you hear what I said? When he kills, it's not murder. You can't sue him. See, I will give Sheba for you. That's a nation. I will allow a nation to perish for you. You don't know your worth before God. If you know your worth, you won't allow anybody talk down on you. Say, the righteous are as bold as a lion. It's a mindset. It's a state of mind. It's not about what you have in your account. It's about who you are. He said, I smote him and I slew him. Next verse, quickly. And the servant, thy servant blew both the lion, slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised. He does not have the mark of God over his life. This one is not born again. Shall be as one of those lions and the bear. Because he has what? He has defiled the hermit. Do you know that when Goliath was talking, he referred to that army as the army of Saul? When David came, he adjusted that program. It's like a computer program. He adjusted something so that the response now can be different. As long as they called it the army of Saul, it was their battle. It was your battle. They told you your problem is a problem in the problem. Now your problem. And they say, I have one big problem. Pastor Kenny, I have one big problem. In fact, I don't know who to talk to. As long as Goliath kept saying, the armies of Saul, you servants of Saul. The moment David came, the first thing he said is, he defied the armies of the living God. Now, that is a very bogus statement. The armies of the living God means two things. The earthly battalion and the heavenly battalion. That means in every spiritual battle, there are always two battles, the air force and the ground forces. You will not see the air forces except your spiritual eyes are open. But you will be on the earth. As you are interceding, the heavenly battalions are flying in. So when he said the armies, it was not army, it was armies. It was plural. There was a spiritual intervention and there was an earthly movement. So when, give me the next verse. And David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, what? Go, for the Lord be with you. Why? Because we've adjusted the equation. It is no more an earthly battle. It is now a spiritual battle. Next verse. And Saul, you see, no matter how spiritual you try to sound, no matter how spiritual you try to look, you will talk your level. You will answer your level. The guy said, the Lord go with you. But he brought out his hammer. And he said, he harmed David. He harmed David. I want to give you the king's robe before you die. Wear it and die. He actually didn't expect the young man to come back. But we need to honor you for being so valiant. The Nigerian Armed Forces will put flour and candle. And we call it Armed Forces Day, Abi. So yeah, where? Yeah, check out. Yeah, Pumiro. You like her? I know why we have not been winning this battle. You put your trust in the arm of flesh. Katima Katoba. He says some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. He said, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He said, this armor, a metal of brass, lesser quality, it's not even gold. Gold speaks of perfection. This is brass. I'm telling you why many of us are still battling the same things. We are trying to do it in our strength. He said, and he hammed him with a coat of mail. You know that coat of mail? It's like something like this that they wear. It just flows. It's very attractive, but it's very heavy. Next verse. And David gathered. That is the sword of Saul. Like this. The thing looks cool, though. If it's today, I see what that thing, they will not take selfie. Or this thing. Put it on Instagram. We are going to fight Goliath. And people say, oh, great soldier, our armed forces. We begin to pray, great grace, as if God is reading Facebook. Great grace, people will be posting 1,000 comments, everything. Be sharing it. Say, honored by the king today at Aso Rock. He's going to die, yo. And he has said to go. He actually honestly wanted to go with it. And he gathered the soul points among four, and I said to go four. He had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with this. It's a good idea. But if you add it, why didn't you use it? Why is it somebody's son you want to send this kind of message? You add this armor, you didn't use it because even you do not trust that armor. I want to give one Yoruba proverb, but I don't want to confuse you, but it would have explained the message. My mom called me one day that, you don't understand Yoruba, and your proverbs are very thick. I say it's the anointing. When the thing comes, it just flow like that. Let me know, because this is not Yoruba church. Don't start. He said, I cannot go with this, for I have not what? Prove them. I have not tested this thing. Next verse. He took his staff. Now imagine that staff in my hand. Sir, it's Goliath we are talking about. Igi. What do you call stick in Igbo? Okpara? Whatever. What do you call stick in Hausa? Where is Sule? Sorry. Jemima, sandal. What was the first thing he took? This message, I've not preached it to, I'm just brushing. He took his own staff. That staff was his own. The symbol of his spiritual authority. The first part of every victory is what, whether your weight in the spirit can successfully execute that judgment. You will know that David was a smart guy. He resorted to his spiritual corner. And the first thing a man takes when he's going to battle is very important. He should have taken a sword. He took his staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is it about the rod? What is it about this staff? In ancient times, the staff was an instrument that was a two-in-one instrument. The staff is like a wooden rod that has a curve like this, like a shepherd's. That edge of that staff is what God used to direct and correct you. If a sheep is trained, he stretches it, hooks you, brings you back to the fold. The other edge is for correction. So, when he picked his staff, he was leaning on the culminations of his consecrations. He was leaning on the culmination of his disciplines. Every time he fell and God corrected him. Every time he did well and God directed him. Everything that had happened to him in that wilderness, in that forest, when he had nothing but sheep to take care of. And every time he took his guitar and he sang and worshiped, and all his experiences, his secret experiences with God, those were the things that culminated in that staff. If there is anything I need in this new phase I'm going into, I need my experiences with God. I need my encounters with God. I don't want to go in thinking, oh, I've got everything all figured out. I want to go in knowing that if I'm standing today, it's because of the mercy and the grace of God. And I don't want to go into the next faith without the mercy and the grace of God. So he held his staff. How do you hold your staff? When you remember. When you remember those places where he picked you from. When you remember those places where you fell on your feet and he corrected you and he brought you back up and he covered your shame. When you remember those seasons of your life that it seemed that everything was so dark and it seemed like you had come to the end of the road. When you get to those moments of rejection and even when your own fellow believers no longer trusted you. And David said, when father and mother forsook me, then the Lord arose and became a father and a mother to me. And you stand and you begin to remember. Knowing that this battle with Goliath, you may not come back. But you rest in his love. You rest in his opportunity. You rest in his grace. And when people ask you, why are you so confident? You tell them, I'm not. I'm just resting in his grace. When you hold that staff, you remember that you are nothing without the Lord and that every battle that was won in the previous years was because of God's mighty hand, not because of something you knew. Thank God for what you know, but it was God's mighty hand that came through for you. That's my staff. That's my staff. When Jacob, Israel, was going to bless his sons, when he got to Egypt, the Bible said he asked for Ephraim and Manasseh to come. And the Bible said he crossed his hands and blessed them. And he put the one hand, the right hand, on the younger one. And the other one on the younger one. And Joseph tried to correct him. And he said, no. I may be blind, but my spiritual eyes are open. I may be old, but I can see far. There are things I see from where you are, you will not see. Because there are certain things God gives to you by reason of age. There are certain things God gives to you by reason of being with him for a long time. Who told you age doesn't count with God? Who told you number doesn't count with God? Why did God record that Moses spent 40 days on the mountain? If numbers was not important. Why is it that people who pray, who do 40 days fasting, why do they get more results than people who fast 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.? So they say. Numbers. There's an entire book in the Bible. It's called Numbers. Numbers matter. We are not a one customer bank. Numbers matter. Come on, tell me what numbers matter. Without numbers, your business will close down. You need numbers. Without numbers. Leave that matter. We'll come back and that day for down. Because some people want to be more righteous than God. Say, it's only God. As long as I'm going to heaven with 10 people, who told you we get there? If you get there and they pursue you for wasting our grace on 10 people, who told you you get there? Me, I will not even let you enter. We are the ushers that day. Am I a co-wole? Don't let him enter. He's a bad guy. He used to preach that only him and if it's just 10 people, we are going to heaven. Who told you again? We have sold your mansion, heaven. We have sold it. You just go and look for somewhere and squat. They are even lucky. Collect his crown. Collect his crown. Collect his crown. See, thank God that God is not man. See the way I've decided some people's case. He took with him his staff. And I can imagine him going into that battle, but he's not keeping quiet. He's talking. Because spiritual battles are fought with words. They are fought with songs. You can sing in your grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. And I can see his brothers at the back. And they say, David, come. Let me talk to you first. It is always your brothers and your family that advise you against your destiny. Because of emotions and love. Not that they hate you. But they don't want you to make mistake. But you see, heaven is beckoning. So you've got to be resolute. And you hold your staff. Your grace. I'm nothing without you. It's your grace shines on me. Your grace. I'm nothing without you.
Oh my God, your grace shines on me. Shine on me. Your grace it shines on me. Shine on me. It's your grace.
When they ask you, why did you leave your job in the bank and come all this way for uncertainty? I say, because it's of His grace. His grace shines upon me. I may not be able to tell you what tomorrow holds, but I can tell you who will be in tomorrow when we get there. It will still be the same God. The same God who has everything fixed out. He has everything sorted out. And He marvels at you because you can't even trust Him. The evidence of your walk with Him is consistent trust. Consistent trust. That's your staff.
Shine on me. It's your grace. Shine on me.
Your light, we see light.
Your grace, it shines on me. Shines on me. Is your grace.
Your staff is that despised part of your life. Your staff is hidden in that despised part of your life. You had an abortion and nobody knew about it. Your staff is in that corner of your space. You had a business engagement where you compromised and you felt that you can't go back to God because of what you did. And God said, your staff, that staff you took from Egypt when you were running out, that staff that you used to defend Zipporah at the well when she was going to be attacked, that staff that became your best friend when you began to move with the sheep around the mountain, that is now what we are going to use. The Bible said God asked that man, Moses, say, what is in your hand? He said, a staff. He said, throw it to the ground. The moment he picked it up, he changed from the rod of a man to the rod of God. Listen to me. It is dangerous to enter into any spiritual battle without your staff. Your remembrance of His faithfulness. Your remembrance of His mercies. When you could have been dead. Things that could have happened to you and you would have been taken out completely. And people would have just moved on with their life. And God did not allow the devil to write the last chapter of your life. That is your staff. When you are raped and abused, in that corner, there's a staff there. If you will truly embrace your healing, there is a rod of authority there. You've got to take it. Because the next battle will require something so strong. You will need to be able to lean on something. Jacob was able to lean on the mercy and the grace of God. When he struggled with the angel and his name was chained. When he contested with his brother. When he had to go to his brother after stealing his birthright. There was something about that man when he was finally going to die. The best thing he could do was to release the blessing. The book of Hebrews said, leaning upon his staff. Lean upon the grace of God. Lean upon every pain he had experienced. Lean upon the mercies of God. Leaning upon everything. Those moments of secret tears that nobody knew anything about. Things that happened to you. Oh my God. Things that happened to you and you wanted to throw in the towel. And then yet you are here. God said, there's a staff in that corner for you. You don't need the armor of Saul. You don't need the armor. There's something in your life that is powerful enough to give you the future you are looking for. Yeah, that thing is not outside. It's inside of you. There are many people who went through stuff, but they never truly healed from it. Some were abused by their bosses in the office. Some were messed up. Some lost their jobs because they could not compromise. And you felt God was not faithful. There is a rod of authority in that corner for you. When David was fighting that bear and that lion, he was building a rod. He was building a staff. He was in that forest alone. He could have died and nobody would have known. They would have come back to meet the remains of his body and then realize the lion was gone, the bear was gone. So when he stood there, he stood as one man, covered in the grace of God, because he knew when he faced the lion, he did it alone. When he faced the bear, he did it alone. Now he has found a rod of authority that if God breathes upon you, it is not yet your time to die. Any battle you face, we bow for you. He knew it. You don't get your rod in the daytime. You get it in the nighttime. You don't get your rod in convenient places. You get it in very dark moments of your life. Moments of deep tears. Moments of rejection. Moments you ask yourself, is this worth it? Three days ago, after you and he go to my left, I entered into severe depression. I was so depressed, my wife became scared. I began to ask my wife some questions. I was so depressed. My wife is asking, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I said, but nothing is making sense anymore. I said, nothing is making sense. I said, I just feel like walking away. I feel like walking away. My wife started praying for me. I felt like just walking away, forget about everything. Forget about everything, just go away. Go away. I woke up the next morning, she looked at me. I wasn't still myself. Listen to me. Just because you're a man of God, don't mean jack. If you don't know your rod of authority, they will take you out of that race. It happened in the night. When you were with me, we were all gisting. We were all laughing. The moment I shut the door, a mighty wave of depression. I've never felt that kind of thing in a long time. I felt like walking away. I felt like, God, if you feel like leaving the church, I felt it too. I felt it. You're not the only one. Even the pastor. I felt like walking away. I felt like just going somewhere. Nobody knows you. Change your SIM card. Change your number. Just go away somewhere. Don't subscribe to WhatsApp. Don't do nothing. You begin to remember many people broke your heart. Even though you preached against it, that your heart could not be broken because it's not Tumblr, I realized my heart was really Tumblr. It was broken, many shades, many sizes. The devil kept reminding me of people I went all the way out for, and oh my God, my wife was practically begging me. Those moments come. If you are not strong and if you are one man standing by yourself, you may make terrible decisions. Just look at everything like this. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. Okay. And so what? Okay, so if I walk away, will the world end? If I walk away, what? Are you going to force me? I don't want to come back. Those are moments. I had that experience after a major encounter on the 24th of April, a day before my birthday. Where God had said to me in that vision, now you must address this area and area of your life because there is a new rod of authority we are giving you. And part of the anointings upon this rod is the raising of the dead. He said to me in a vision. But I didn't speculate or anticipate that 3 days after, I would, without any signal, without any notification, premonition. I didn't sense it. Osei just left my house. He got to me, just walked out. As I was knocking, it's as if the thing just wore me like a garment. My wife begged me. She prayed for me. You know, when I'm a pastor, but you're praying for me, I'm not looking at you. Do you know that kind of thing? I'm not looking at you. So when you pray for unbelievers and they are just looking at you, don't be offended though. You never meet when they open your file. You are just praying for me in the name of Jesus. If you like, why am I a woman that cannot pray? Why am I a woman? You're looking for a slave queen. What? A day we call Instagram will reject you. I was in a very dark spot, sir. I didn't anticipate it. But it was real. it was as if I should leave the house that night and just not come back. Funny enough, we were just two of us in the house. My children were not at home. They've been gone for like a few days. So I'm supposed to be at home having fun. But I'm dealing with my personal demons. But in that corner, there was a rod. There was a rod. You want your rod? You must face your demons. You must face them. Somebody amongst us will die. Whether the lion or the shepherd, somebody will die. Somebody will die. You want a new life? You want a new future? You want that destiny? Between the lion and the shepherd, somebody will come out. I'm talking to you about how to bounce back. Because you can lose everything all one day. The devil reminded me of, Baba, I don't lose money this year. I throw away money. So the best way to keep my sanity is to try and not remember that I lost money. Because I could have used my money to enjoy my life. But in hope for a better Nigeria, the money now develop wings and move to Canada. The money left me. I said, God, I'm a tighter. You cannot do this. Say, I'm not the one that did it. I'm not the one. I didn't take your money to Canada. Your money just left. I said, so why did my money go? He said, I don't watch money. You understand? I watch over souls. I don't watch over money. That money I can give you back. It's not, but I don't watch over money. I watch over souls. You are important to me. Not that one. I can still give you. You understand? I can still give you and that one. If I in dollars, safe. Face your demons. Face that alternate version of yourself. That part of you, there's this part of you that loves God on a Sunday and is crazy on a Monday. Who knows that one? You are not like me. You are not say. Let me tell you, when I wake up on Monday, it's like Monday is my Friday. Or my Saturday. So I don't wake up feeling like praying. You understand? The day I sang the whole of that green song for my wife, the whole song, she asked me that, am I seeing the faith? That she has never seen me sing this song before. I said, I don't know. It's like, I just know the song. I just know it. But you know, to memorize Bible verse, that one, now battle. I'm speaking to you because some of you are where I am. Because some of you want me to lie to you and tell you that every time I'm singing angel song. And it's not as if we went to register to learn. They just played it on the radio. Once. All you need to do to compromise, once. All you need to do to lose your ground, once. All you need to do to begin to look at another girl, once. Once. Just once like this. If you are not careful, you are not coming back. There are a lot of people who stepped away from God because they felt they've deviated so much. And that God will not really be willing to gamble on them. And God is saying, I'm not gambling. You are my choice. You are my choice. Let that love motivate you. Let that love push you. When the devil tries to remind you that you are not fit to be God's man, that you are not fit to be God's woman, remind him that it was not your choice that you are chosen, and it's not your fault that you are God's chosen, and if he doesn't like it, there's a Nepa wire on the other side of the street, and he can go hard the transformer. It's not your fault that you are chosen. It's not your fault that God is patient with you. It's not your fault. But you got problems with it. There's a transformer at the back of our street. Just hug it. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. The issues in your family, it's not your fault. You can't keep blaming yourself. You keep feeling like you have to do something. Let people fight their demons. They will not grow if you keep helping them. Let them fight their demons. Don't let anybody make you feel like you are supposed to help them. You don't owe nobody nothing. They bring emotional battles against you. Yeah, you are supposed to help me. Yeah, I'm your sister. And so what? And so what? Whoever asked me how I felt. Whoever asked me how I felt. Whoever asked me if I'm all right. I'm your sister. And so what? And we came from the same mother's womb. We came from the same family. Why don't you just get up and stop whining and shut out of that Instagram and get busy? This armor is not yours. Take it off. There's a rod of authority in your name. He took to himself a rod. Oh my God. And he didn't stop there. He went by the waters. Oh, Balika Tomara. He said he leaded me beside still waters. He went by the brooks. The brooks, the waters are the brooks. They flow gently. There's no rush. And he looked inside those clear waters. And he picked 5 stones. Not only was he carrying an object of grace, which was his staff, but the scripture and church, his theology tells us that 5 is the number of grace. So he went into the waters and picked 5 smooth stones. Please don't be in a hurry. Those stones were not originally smooth. They were smoothened by the impact of the still waters. Certain things were happening to you in your life and people didn't notice, but God was smoothing you up. God was smoothing you up. He was preparing you for that one day when only one stone, only one of your abilities will bring down Goliath. Don't rush out of the training room. He kept the stones in the waters and was smoothing them. It takes a lot of time. Those smoothing stones, but God kept you under. You wonder why God has been hiding you? You wonder why God has told you not to be in a hurry? Because he's smoothing you. He's smoothing your bullet to go into the helmet of Goliath. One shot and he's down. Oh my God, there are people who are rushing and trying to manifest prematurely. But God says, if you can stay with me, stay under the word. The one of the symbols of the word of God is water. If you can stay under the word, let me breathe on you. Let me walk on you. Let me refine you. Let me repackage you. Let me smoothen your rough edges. Give me some time. Don't be in a hurry. Oh, let me take you to the bathroom and wash you like the washing of water by the word. Let me wash you. I need 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones. David, you can't do this in your power. I'm going to give you 5 smooth stones. Stones out of fellowship. Stones out of communion. Stones out of a deep walk with the Lord. Stones out of a consistent walk with the Lord. What you are looking for is a byproduct of our koinonia. Those 5 stones, they're a byproduct of how much time we spend together. What is going to bring that giant down is going to come out of our fellowship. Those quiet times that you sat with God in the morning and you read your Bible and it felt like God wasn't saying nothing, I'm going to bring the stones from there. Those times you prayed and you felt God didn't hear you and your prayers felt very dry, and sometimes you prayed and you wondered if God even heard. Oh my God, Chalo, I prayed when I was, something happened this last week and I saw that I was in trouble. And then I prayed. I said, Father, my mentor said to me, this matter is not a prayer matter. The battle is going against me. Hello, the battle is going against me. Baba, do something. The moment I said, the battle now went further against me. I said, ah. It was when we were praying in church on Friday. So I left my device, I left everything, and we kept praying, and we kept praying, and we kept praying, and we kept praying. And after the prayer meeting, I wanted to see if there was a message. It was still the same. And then I took my eyes off it, and I put on Jesus. All of a sudden, I got a notification. I said, oh, what's going on here? What's going on? I said, ah, he came back, and I came back. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, Holy Ghost fire. Losiwaju, go forward. I started prophesying to a computer. And I walked out on my 2 feet. Your staff, the culmination of your experience with God, your pain, your failures, your expectations, those that were met and those that never materialized. Every time you try so hard and nothing came out of it, was what God brought into 5 stones. A refined man. When you came, you were not like this, Toby. When you came, you were not like this, Kenny. You know the way you used to be. 5 years ago. 7 years ago. People look at you and they envy you, but they forget that you are not always like this. That there was a time you were actually so broke that your brokenness was an amazement to you because you were so broke. There was a time you could not even, you didn't want people visiting because you didn't have anything to take care of them with. There was a time you actually prayed for your school fees. But all of a sudden, the stones are becoming smooth. The stones are becoming smooth. God said, these are the things we are going to use. We will not import another person's testimony. We will not use another person's armor. This thing I have been through with you is what we are going to use to honor you. And they took those 5 stones out of the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag. He brought his experience and his weapons under pastoral covering. He brought it under pastoral covering. He didn't expose his strategy. He didn't expose them. He kept them hidden. Goliath saw the staff. Goliath saw the boy talking. He didn't see the stone. By the time he saw the stone, it was too late. By the time he saw, oh my God. By the time he saw the stone, it was too late. The devil won't see you coming. He won't see you coming. He won't see you coming. But with a mighty force, by God's mighty hand, you are breaking forth. You are coming loose. You are expanding on every side. It's going to happen before they know it. Oh my God, oh my God. It's going to happen before they know it. It's going to happen before they know it. If anybody had said to Goliath, you won't leave this battle alive, he would have laughed. Because what your king could not do, you are attempting it. It was a suicide mission. But it was not what people thought. It was not what people thought. It was not what people thought. He held the stones in the bag, which he had, even in a scrip. But there was something he carried in his hands. A sling. His praise. His praise. My praise. The defense of the integrity of God. The defense of the might of God. That's what he went to that battle with. His sling. His sling. Commonized weapon. When people ask you, well, is this a time to be praising God? We have to face the fact. This is how I fight my battles. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. Because when the king and the judge of the earth stands, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, he will laugh. And when God laughs, the whole head will begin to rumble. It will begin to rumble. God has never backed out of any battle. But he doesn't step into any battle without praise. When they said to Hezekiah, you will not need to fight in this battle. Hezekiah stepped out with music. He stepped out with praise. And they began to magnify God. They moved with their cymbals, with their tambourines. And they began to magnify God. They began to magnify God. We don't know how he's going to do it. But they began to magnify God. They began to praise him. They gave their whole being into that praise. And when they got to the battleground, all the enemies, all the armies were on the ground and they were dead. Because God dwells in the midst of the praise of his people. God dwells. He is glorious in holiness and fearful in praises. When you begin to praise God, it becomes fearful. It becomes the original Bamieda. It becomes extremely fearful. Who told you? Who told you that God doesn't respond to praises? Who told you that your praise is not a weapon when you don't have answers? When, like Paul, you are in the prison, then in the middle of the night, begin to jam the hands together with all the locks that are around your feet. And what happened to Paul? There was a smite. A thunder blast. Lightning broke into that place and shook the foundations of the prisoner. Listen to me. The battle with Goliath was not a battle of physical weapons. Oh, Balika Tubarakata. It was not a battle of physical weapons. It was a spiritual battle. And it was won with declarations. When David went to fight Goliath, he went with tested weapons. If you run away from the days of little battles, you see those things you have been doing before, that God has been honoring and answering you, they are the things you will use when your Goliath comes. Because God won't want you to gamble. So he will allow several scenarios where over time, a period of 5 years, you tell yourself, most of the times when I enter into three night vigils of praise, I see results. He would have established some patterns with you. It's you and you. It's you and him. It's not a doctrine. It's you and him. You will know after some time that maybe for you, 7 days fasting and prayer, it cannot fail. Not because it cannot fail, but God chooses to honor it. David went there with tested weapons. They were commonized. Because nobody goes to a giant killer fight with a sling. But those were the things he could trust. And God honored it. One stone could not have brought the head of Goliath down. But the force of heaven went with that stone. Allow God to breathe on that ability. Allow God to breathe on that gift on your inside. So that gift will solve a major problem. And the nation will seek for you. I prophesy. In the name of Jesus. Libra shitane makura. Ledo kuma reketo zofelelele bokurataka zanena tole berale korona tevion zaneba tabyalu tobra hatenotosa zatami kuma hila hurane kutani elefa zatume la kali kanuma hiterio e barati kaluze fali anuta dari mahatule mehyoni kataya. The hand of God is coming upon your slingshot. The power of God is coming upon your stones. And in this season, the head of Goliath will come bending to you, and the nations will follow you to see your God. I speak to every giant in every family, in every foundation of every family. I declare in the name of Jesus, the stone from the presence of God moves right now and begins to bring down every Goliath. Begins to bring down every Goliath. That Goliath of premature death. The power of God is releasing a stone. The revelation knowledge of the word of God. Bringing down the heads. Halimakuta. Of every Goliath represented as premature death in the name of Jesus.